Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire radio program is being recorded for September the 12th, 2020. We're going to be looking at the bad people. That's what I get. Okay. Everybody comes out with this thing about themselves. And of course, I am a part of that because they come out about it with me. I'm a liberal, they say. I don't know what I am. All I know is my politics are just merely silly things. I believe, yes, in the equality and all of that stuff, but I also understand that you're not going to change people. So to me, politics is a useless experience, and I don't get too wrapped up in it. As I have said to you before, this when you relegate your life to the body, when you relegate your living to your emotionality and your mind, you're going to have difficulties. All of us are. And we've all done it. I've done it. Everybody's done it to some degree. But then the great teacher of futility has to enter into us. And it does enter into us. And once we start feeling the futility of our life as is lived in the fear and the hate that lives within us, we start to realize, hey, you know, maybe this isn't so good. You can't legislate, you can't moralize or demoralize or whatever hate and fear, because it's an integral part of our survival. And no one wants to admit this. Hate and fear are an integral part of our survival. It's about DNA. And I'm not saying it's right, of course, but that's what we do. And hence the idea of futility enters in and pain and sorrow enters in. And then we become spiritually what I would call retarded sociopaths, all of us. And there you are. There you are. This is how it all happens. So I get questions a lot. And even I have asked a couple of these questions to myself. So I'm kind of excited to do this broadcast. And I hope in every way, shape, and form it serves you. Now listen to me before I give this to you. What my comments are about are not to sway you in any way, shape, or form. I am not here to politically sway you one way or another or tell you how you should live or any of that. I really want you to understand that, because I don't want to interrupt the teacher of futility that is your guide. And if I can show you or point a way for you to go beyond that teacher of futility, then of course I'm going to do that. But in no way, shape, or form am I trying to change you or influence you to believe one thing over another. I want you to understand that. That is never my goal here on Aspire. And I hope that helps you with the clarification of what my mission is here, so to speak, to offer you an alternative. That's all I'm offering, not an absolute. All right, the first question comes from Jesse, and then he slashes his name and says it's Jason. I don't know which it is. I'm going to call you Jason because of the way you did your email to me. Do bad, quote unquote, do bad people always win? They seem to get away with everything they do, including Mr. Trump, who gets away with everything. Jason. I think what Jason is asking, and I'm going to kind of manipulate this a little bit. I think he's asking, is there consequences for those of us who have done unkind things? Things that were not what politically and socially we would call right. And I'm going to take that question, Jason, from that point of view, okay? Everything I do, the Buddha said the fool's milk, the jug fills up slowly for the fool, the jug of karma. It does happen. It does fill up. And we see it in so many ways in our own life. I know you're all wondering, as many people do, about the atrocities that people have done in this world. Murderers, a lot, you know, people who have cheated, the whole kit and caboodle of people who have put greed ahead of compassion and love. And we see that right now with this president that is sitting now, and we may have for another 4 years. So you got to look at it and ask yourself, what am I really asking? Again, you know, for us to seek vengeance is a ridiculous and unkind attribute about human nature and the human experience. And every one of us feels it at some level in our life, every single one of us. So I think it is important to understand, not my will, but thy will. I sit back and I watch some of the things that government does, including Congress. They're just as bad. All of them, every single one of them. And you start to look and see the damage they've done. They went on vacation while people needed relief money to sustain their businesses and such. And they just went on vacation. Oh, that's vacation time. Let them eat cake is their attitude, Congress. So don't think it's just the president. It's Congress as well. It's business as usual. So you have to look at the whole thing and ask yourself, what is really happening here? And if I tell you what's really happening, you're not going to like what you hear. And you're going to say Greg Penn is crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway to you so you can know I am crazy. When a person devotes their entire life to the ideal of their human body, when the human body is all that they are, and they have not come to any other place of finding the authentic aspect of themselves, the authentic, when a person has relegated their entire life to their body, their chemistry, their brain, their organs, their skin, their flesh, their bones, you are subject to DNA, not to love, not to compassion, not to the heart, the authentic heart. You are subject to flesh and blood mentality. This creates many, many, many atrocities and what we like to call in the work spiritual mischief. So when you're looking at what's going on in the world, or you look at what's going on with people who seem to get away with all sorts of atrocities, from the president of the United States doing what he does and Congress doing what they do, and these are people who are governing what part of our life? The fleshly part, the human part. And they're participating in their DNA and their genetic nature as well as we are. And their attitude is, well, your genetics created your circumstances. You didn't go to college or you didn't run your business. Well, that's none of our business. We can't care about that. We've got hundreds and hundreds of other things that pertain to us. And we're going to fulfill us first. And then if there's anything left over for you, we're going to give that to you, maybe. Probably not, though. There is a ruthlessness to DNA, a primordial ruthlessness, and you must understand it. To live in the human body, by the human body, for the human body, means you and I are going to live for certain laws and principles of this world that pertain to that, and we're going to live in the idea of those who have and those who have not, and the haves rule the earth. And that's the way it is. Gandhi did wonderful work, but in the end, the haves won. Dr. King did wonderful work, but in the end, the haves won. So when you start looking at all of this stuff that I have just said to you, you start to realize, where is the consequence for people's actions? The consequence is a couple of things, and you're going to laugh, but this is what I know to be true. They get to come back to a place like this after death. I do believe in reincarnation, obviously. We will reincarnate. We will incarnate into some other sphere of this world or worlds like this where this kind of crap can happen all the time. The next thing is they don't know their true nature. And this is a real problem. And I want you to understand, you can get everything you want in this world and be a soulless person. Should you not attain to your soul, you are not going to be a full person, a whole person, a whole being. You will not transcend. And that will put you in the quagmire of what we're in right now. Things like this. We have fires going on. We have the virus going on. We've got politics going on. We've got it all going on. The heat, the environment. This is hell. And it's becoming more and more like that. And if you notice, it's ramping up. And why is it ramping up? Because we refuse to work upon ourselves. We refuse to see who we really are and what we really are. So, Jason, do the bad guys get theirs? We all get our own in this world. And if you look at Trump, he lives in a loveless life. Yes, absolutely none. He's not very well liked. Not sure his wife is particularly crazy about him. And then you look at the people in Congress. I don't know how they sleep at night. I really don't. But the government is set up to be impotent when it comes to helping people. And most of us don't want to acknowledge that as human beings, but it is the truth. And that's very sad commentary on that. There is no perfect government. There's no such thing. So here's the flesh, here's the body, here's the circumstance, here's the conditions, and you're only left with one alternative, and no one wants to see it, no one wants to believe in it, nada, and that is transcendence. So there you are. Thank you, Jason, for your question, and please forgive me. Namaste. I'm going to get mail on that one. Next one comes from John in Ohio. He says, does God punish people who are evil? Like all the people in politics, he wrote in parentheses. John, I laugh. Anybody who's in politics basically is tapping into their unconscious DNA, their unconscious primordial emotionality, and they become evil and corrupt. They do. And don't ever fall for the idea that someone with a pretty face or a polite smile saying the words you want to hear means anything. I've lived on this planet a long time, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I have heard all the promises and none, not one of them. Not one of them ever came true. Not one. And I remember George Bush Sr. saying, read my lips, no new taxes. Well, then they put in new taxes. He did it. No one remembers this. The American public is mesmerized by the idea of being self-righteous and that they voted for the right man, and they would never be able to concede to the idea that they lie. So there is that, John. Does God punish? God, you're assuming here that God is like thee and me, you and me, that he, and he's a he, not a she, and that's another problem, that this God that we believe in, or think we believe in, or can believe in, is some kind of entity that created this whole mess that you see. He created the earth, he created human beings in the image and likeness of himself, according, if you believe all the folderol of the Bible, and that all of that is happening, and we are just little pawns in this whole thing, and God has a plan and all that other BS that people like to believe in to soothe their ego. We don't want to really take in the fact that we are here as individuals to do the will of our Father, as Jesus talked about, which would mean to be love. And you saw what Jesus did. You saw what Buddha did. They stayed away from human politics. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, said Jesus, regarding should we pay taxes. There's all sorts of important things that, you know, we have to look at inside of ourselves and what is important to us. So does God punish those who do what? I didn't come into this world, I don't know about you, John, but I didn't come with a set of instructions and a manual of operation. So I have no idea what, you know, God's all about, your God at least, or the typical Christian God or whatever God people believe in. I have no idea what that means. And I don't particularly ascribe to what people write about it or tell people. Everybody's got these motives hidden in the background of their being where they want to be the go-to person, the know-it-all, the one that has all the answers. And no one has all the answers, because the answers live within and there are no questions to this lifetime. So therefore, there really can't be any real answers. The only quest there is in this life, which is the answer to all questions, is that of pursuing love. If I do not pursue love, if I do not recognize the state of love within me, then I'm going to miss everything that is pertinent to a meaningful life. I do not feel that we are either rewarded or punished. We're not like little puppy dogs. We are karmic. We accumulate karma. We accumulate everything and reincarnate in that everything and then formulate our life according to the vision we have in our psychology, in our belief system, in our human body. Where do you go to deal with issues that are difficult? Where do you go? That's the question, John. You probably go to your emotions that are connected to your ego, your emotions that are connected to the ego, that's connected to our primordial self, our DNA, our fight or flight, our, fighting for our own existence. That's probably where you go. And anyone who seems to get in the way of that or contradict that, you probably don't like or hate. And that's where people go. They go to hate and fear whenever things get difficult. And you've got to ask yourself inside you, what are you all about? Are you going to go to hate and fear when things get difficult, when you don't know what to do? Are you going to allow your education, as it were, for yourself to be given over to people like politics, politicians, religious people who have the emotional fervor to make you believe one way and another, sway you in every way, shape, and form through their emotional logic? Is that as far as you go? You don't have anything inside yourself to realize, to awaken, to start to see the bigger picture? you're just a patsy for religion and politics, and that's the way it's going to go. I have students who love to hate, and they read politics and they listen to it, and they don't like what's going on in the world, and they just build hate because they have this utopia in their minds that this world is to be and can be a paradise of peace and love. It can't. It won't. It never has been. It never will be. And even Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars in this world. So we have to get over ourselves, John. This is the world we live in. This is what we incarnated into. And why? Because in past lives and in many experiences here on Earth, we just joined the crowds and the many people who believe in hate over love, and that hate changes things, and hate is the best way to do things. And as long as we continue to do silly things like this that are counter to the nature of our being, we're going to find many, many, many problems in this world. We are just not going to get over it. Thank you, John. And please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from June. She does not tell me where she lives. How do all of the evil people spend their eternity in the afterlife? I am hoping that some they have to pay for whatever they've done. That's what she wrote. June, I have no idea. Nobody does. And don't let anybody tell you they know exactly what's going to happen in the afterlife and all of that. Please don't. That's none of my concern, none of my business. My business is to live consciously, to live according to the manner of my spirit, my heart, my soul. I am not here to worry about what other people are going to face in their afterlife. I have to be more concerned about my own. I am only concerned with how to direct my attentions towards love, compassion, forgiveness. That's all that matters. The rest takes care of itself. And to be seeking what we would call righteous vengeance for people who have done unkind things in this world or ugly things in this world is really just as bad as what they did to put them there in that unkindness, that hatred. It is all about, in this world, attaining to love. And I want you to understand that. It is about attaining to love. There is nothing more important than that of finding the authentic love that lives within. There is nothing more important. And I hope that you understand that and can appreciate that, because it's extremely important. Okay? I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm going to add a little feature to our radio programs. Each week at the end of every program, I want to read you something that struck me as very authentic and real. And I hope that this leaves you with some insight, and maybe for those of you who are questing a little more of the push and pull of bringing you to love itself. This is from a Chinese Zen master, and I want to read it to you because I think it is so beautiful. If you want to be free, get to know your real self. It has no form, no appearance, no root, no bias, no abode, but it's lively and buoyant. It responds with versatility, but its function cannot be located. Therefore, when you look for it, you become further away from it. And when you seek it, you turn away from it. There is more within you. seek that more. I think that is absolutely perfect. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I hope you will join me. Thank you for your questions. And if you ever want to write me, it's greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.